service, the remainder of this service, and how God's going to move and work. And then in the coming week, we'll see the hand of the Lord bless and move in a special way. Continue to testify and invite folks to be in these services, and we'll see God move again and again. Praise God. Stand with us today. I know the Lord's blessing is real and wonderful, and I know that Brother Cornejo has something from the Lord for us today from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord, and thank God that His precious Word will continue to minister. Some would say it's old-fashioned, it's irrelevant, it's outdated, but oh, thank God, it's powerful, it's real, it's wonderful, and we love the Word of God. And we love the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Come preach, Brother Cornejo. God bless you.
Man, let's go give the Lord a big round of applause, everybody. Amen. I don't sing, but I want to ask if you would help me. Let's sing that one more time. Victory is mine. Brother, you can jump back on the drums real quick. And I just want you to clap your hands, sing unto the Lord. But I want you to think about for a moment a time when you didn't have victory. I want you to think about just for a moment what God brought you out of. What miracle. We testified, Brother Abbott, I didn't even know. 6 years ago you had cancer and God healed your body, right? My sister back there, 30 years ago, God brought her out of a wheelchair. And there's other testimonies, Sister Via as well. God healed your body from cancer. There are miracle testimonies in this building. And as a visitor, you might ask yourself, I wonder why they worship the way they do. Well, I'm telling you, it's because once we didn't have victory, but now we do. Once we were on our way to hell, but now God came, saved us, picked us up, turned us around and set our feet on solid ground. I'm on my way to glory. I'm going to make heaven my home. One day Jesus came and died for me. So victory today is mine. Go ahead.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine.
Everybody sing it.
I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
One more time.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
Would you clap your hands one more time? Come on. I have battled. You can keep playing a little bit. I've battled all this morning and all last night. I don't know why. I don't know what. But there is something that the enemy is not wanting to happen today in this service. I'm telling you, I feel that in the Holy Ghost. And as I stood here, I don't get these thoughts often, but hell will every once in a while begin talking to me and begin speaking a lie to me. And the enemy began to tell me, you know, as I was standing here, as we were all worshiping, that this Bible's not real. I'm telling you, that's what hell just spoke to me a moment ago. That miracles don't really happen, that it doesn't happen anymore. And that's why I just wanted to serve notice on hell that victory today is mine. I might not be preaching to you, but I'm letting every spirit that is trying to come against what God is going to do, I want to let you know there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There is one name given under heaven, given to all men, whereby we must be saved. It's at the name of Jesus. that every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. Would you worship one more time? Would you clap your hands? Would you shout unto Jesus, I've got the real thing here today. I've got the real thing here today. It's going to happen if you have need of a miracle today. God is going to fill that need. If you came believing, God can and He will fill that need. He can and He will heal your body. If you need the Holy Ghost today, God will fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost. Because what I've got is different than what they've got in the world. What I've got is different than what they might be preaching somewhere else in some other part. What I've got is the name of Jesus. And it's real. It's real. It's real. 1 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 2. I want to honor everybody for the privilege to be here. Your pastor in this church. I love you all. The hospitality that you've given us. My wife and my son. I want to honor them as well. I'm so grateful that they're here with me. Amen. Something's going to happen here today. I'm telling you, it's... When the enemy knows that a preacher is going to come and preach the word and something's going to happen, you realize the enemy fights what it fears. What we felt on Friday night, what we felt on Thursday night was amazing. What we felt on Friday night was a breakthrough. And you know when the enemy's hands are slipping through, or when they're being loosed on the lives of the people. In other words, the enemy is not able to hold its grip any longer, but his deception has been unmasked. He knows he's losing grip. He knows he's losing grip. And that God is going to be victorious in this battle, in this city, in this state, in this church, in this building. God is going to be victorious in your life today. Verse 2, 1 Samuel chapter 5. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And this time the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Would you bow your heads and ask Jesus to be with us, to align our hearts with His will? Jesus, we thank You for the privilege to be in this house. I pray in the name of Jesus that You would anoint my mind and loose my tongue. I take authority and dominion over every spirit that would try to come against the will of God here this morning. We thank You and love You, God, for what You're going to do. I loose the gift of faith in this atmosphere, Jesus. And we believe and know that where You are, that anything is possible. We believe and know that where You are, absolutely anything can happen. We thank You and love You. Would you give them one more big round of applause? Come on, I know you can do a little bit better than that. Would you give them a big round of applause? After that, you may be seated. Amen. Something's going to happen. Turn to your neighbor and say, something's going to happen. Nudge them. I'm here today in the divine will of God, and God is going to perform His work. You see, what we have today is more powerful and more real than anything out there in this world. It's what sets us apart from the rest. And I might say a few things politically incorrect, but you'll have to excuse me for the next couple of minutes. I'm just going to preach the Word of God. Is that all right? I want to talk to you about the greatest power. Turn to your neighbor and say, the greatest power. I believe people all over the world are looking for a power outside of themselves. People all over the world are looking for something that they cannot produce within their own senses, within their own body, or within their own mind. They cannot produce the joy that they're looking for. They cannot work enough hours to produce the peace or produce the happiness that they are searching for. They're looking, constantly searching high and low in everything they possibly can. And people people wind up in relationships that aren't good for them and wind up addicted to drugs, and people wind up addicted to working, and people wind up doing all kind of different things, living a sorrowful life, trying to find somehow, some way, a joy that they cannot produce in their own mind or in their own body. People are looking and have been looking for years for a power that is greater than them outside of themselves. We were created that way. Amen? We were created with this void inside of us that only God can fill. We were created with this void inside of us that only Jesus can take care of. And I remember going to Belize not too long ago and walking up the ruins of the Mayan temples that were there and that are still there today. And they would begin to tell us about the history and how these Mayan people thousands of years ago would try and give different sacrifices and literally human sacrifices and offer fruits and all kind of other things to their gods, which were not real gods, that could not respond back to them and could not talk back to them. And there was the moon god and the sun god and this god and that god. And if you notice people that serve other gods that are not the one true living God, you realize and you look back in history and in different cultures that these other religions, these other cultures, these other beliefs, most of the time serve these other gods out of fear and superstition. It's always, well, we should not do this because we hope that our God doesn't do and respond that way. And it's always out of fear. And some people will come and say, don't open the umbrella in the middle of the building or on the inside, or don't step on the shattered mirror or whatever the deal is, or don't go here on this day because this may happen. That's called a superstition. And they're serving that God out of fear. But when you come to Jesus, there's a difference. We don't come to Jesus out of fear. No, we come messed up, beat up, messed up all over, and God comes and builds us up again. His blood comes and turns us around. We come in pieces, and God puts us all back together again. It's the only power in this world that can put a broken piece back together. I don't serve my God out of fear, but I serve Jesus out of love, because he first loved me, and over 2,000 years ago, he came down onto this earth and died on a cross for me. His blood was shed for me because he knew that I would need it later on in my life, that I would need a point of redemption. Would you clap your hands to Jesus for a moment? And people have been looking for a power, and I remember going and thinking, well, these Mayan ruins, standing in these Mayan ruins, and thinking of all the different cultures that have looked to other gods and different beliefs. And we got to understand, this is thousands of years ago. People don't do that today. People don't serve other gods today, do they? People don't set up idols today, do they? That's thousands of years ago, Brother Jesse. You don't understand. We don't do that stuff anymore. I was in Hawaii earlier this year. My father-in-law and mother-in-law live there. My wife and I were preaching down there. We drive down the side of the road and see altars literally set up and established to pagan gods that are not the one true God. And these altars were established to these other gods. Now, these were not ruins, but these are live altars that they still worship on today. And they still serve their gods out of superstition, hoping that the volcanoes won't erupt, and hoping that the islands won't get swallowed up by a tsunami or this and that and the other, hoping one day that if they offer enough sacrifices, that their lives would be spared. It's all out of fear when you don't serve the one true living God. It's all out of slavery and out of a servant or slave mentality. Even the addicted person that's addicted to drugs, they serve the God of that drug, or they serve that God. And you notice they can't even function without it. And before you know it, it ruins their entire life and everything around them, because they're searching for something that is greater
greater than themselves. I remember thinking, I cannot believe that in 2018, such a modernized year, right, that people are still in this hour, in this year, setting up altars to pagan gods. Don't they realize by now the power in the name of Jesus? You see, here's the reality, is what we have today is different, and I'll tell you why it's different. It's different because when you preach Jesus, things actually happen. You see, you can go and preach out of the Quran, and I might be politically incorrect, but oh well. And you can go and preach maybe a Buddhist scripture or proverb, or you've seen it before. Confucius said this and said that, and Hinduist believe that and believe this, and that's all good. And some of those proverbs are even nice sayings, and that's great. But I want you to realize that when they speak those words that are not of the one true God, or not out of the Bible, guess what? Nothing happens. I've never seen a miracle happen in the name of Allah. I've never seen a miracle happen in the name of Buddha. I've never seen a miracle happen in a Hinduist name, God. I've never, but when somebody comes and begins to shout the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, miracles begin to happen because Jesus is not of this world, not made by man's hands, but He is out of this world. He is the one true living God. If you don't believe me, that's all right. Because by the end of this service, I'm going to display here today the power of the one true living God. Would you clap your hands to Jesus one more time? He is in this building. He's going to do it. He's going to display His power so that you can know that He is. You've got these crystal powers that are going on around today. These rocks, and people are looking to them for healing. I want you to think about this for a moment. And they'll go and they'll say, well, this one will help you with this, and this one will help you with that, and so on. This new age stuff that's going on. I want you to realize something here today. If you don't understand what's going on, the enemy has taken these things and taken these different ideas and then taken biblical principles like healing and begin to intertwine them into His plan. So that when you go somewhere, someone could say, well, yeah, your God can heal, but let me show you what my crystal rocks can do. Now, I know you all know what I'm talking about, okay? Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, get an amen. And they'll begin to explain, well, you know, your God can do that, but my God can do this. And they'll begin to, I want you to realize something. It's a falsehood. It's a false saying. It's a false belief. Because the reality is, I've never seen anybody get up out of a wheelchair in any other name than the name of Jesus. I've never seen anybody be healed of cancer in any other name than the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, the reason we preach it the way we do is not to bash anybody else. It had nothing to do with that. But it's to let you know that what we have is real. The reason that I know it's real is because there's proof. Now, if I came and preached to you the Bible and nothing happened, then I'd be like everybody else. Can I get an amen? You notice a good proverb or Chinese proverb, whatever you want to call it, not in the Bible, will make you feel good for maybe a couple of minutes, maybe an hour if you really meditate on it. And after that, it's all over. There's no life-changing experience there. Why do you think people are constantly still searching when they're searching outside of the Word of God? Because what they are finding is not satisfying the God-shaped void in their lives. Some of you haven't had joy in a while. Some of you haven't had peace in a while. And you've done the same thing over and over and over again. Gone to the same place over and over and over again. I'm telling you here today that what we have is real. If you'll try Jesus, Jesus will go ahead and show Himself strong to you. If you try Jesus just one more time, Jesus will show Himself real to you. And they brought that Ark of the Covenant in my text here, the text that we read this morning. They brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple of Dagon. And Dagon was a god that was set up by their hands. It was an idol that they had made. It was half fish, half man. And they established it, you can imagine it, probably at the chief place in their temple, and maybe with a couple of lights on it or candles back in that day. And as they walked in, they brought the Ark of the Covenant in. And the Ark of the Covenant resembled the presence of God. And what had happened was the Philistines were the enemy of the children of Israel, which the children of Israel are the children of God. And so when the Philistines won a battle against the children of Israel, they grabbed the Ark of the Covenant as a spoils of war and brought it into the temple, kind of as an ornament, you know, for their temple. Look at the victories that we have won. And that's why I had you sing Victory is Mine, because I'm going to tell you the rest of the story in a moment. And the Bible says that they went and they put that Ark of the Covenant in the temple, and their god Dagon was set up also in that temple, and it's where the priests would go and worship and offer ornaments and offer sacrifices and so on and so forth, and they would worship. And the Bible says that they went away, and that night they went to sleep and came back the next morning. And the Bible says the Ark of the Covenant resembled the presence of God, of our God, the one true living God. And all of a sudden the Bible says that that god Dagon, which they had made with their hands, had fallen down on his face. Now, if it had been the other way around, that the Ark of the Covenant would have been destroyed and the Dagon idol had stayed up and was the god, then I'd be preaching to you a different message. Right? But the reality is, if we believe in God, and if God is really God, then that means that there can be no other god with him. Think about this for a moment. In order for God to create, now just go with me here. In order for God to create, he had to create something that was less than God. Because if he would create something that was equal, in other words, if he would create something that was equal to him, then it would also be God. So in order for him to create, he had to create something less than God. But because he had to create something less than God, he had to create something that wasn't perfect. Everybody understand? Because there's only one perfect, and that is God. So there can't be three perfect, because then all three are God, and if all three are God, then none are God. Cancel each other out. Thank you. Amen? You have three separate wills. You have four separate wills. 20 different wills of God. Well, one's going to go that way, and the other's going to go that way. There's only one. Amen? In my home, I am the only husband, and it will stay that way as long as I'm living. And it will be my way as the priest of my home. Can I get an amen to all the men? Oh, now I need to talk about marriage. Amen? You're the only husband in your home, and you desire it to be that way. Can I get an amen, please? Thank you, Brother Glover. I appreciate that. And for the women, you are the only wife, you are the only queen in that home. Can I get an amen? And you do not want there to be another. You got one wanting to do this and one wanting to do that. No, no, no. One has got to go. This town is not big enough for the both of us. Just don't work that way. And so when we understand God that way, that there is only one God, and that he is all powerful, that he is almighty, that he does not share with anybody his glory and his power. Because if another was perfect, then another would be God, and then they both wouldn't be God. And so they brought this Ark of the Covenant into that room, that temple, and the one that was more powerful was the one that lasted. Think about it. Think it, amen. And the Dagon God fell on his face. Now here's the part that I just baffles my mind here, just goes, makes me go crazy. Is they went over the priest and they picked up their god, and in my version, they blew the dust off of his face and blew the dust off of his head, and they probably said, "You know, we're going to give you one more chance, Dagon God. We're going to give you one more chance to be God." Now, let me ask you a question. If your God needs another chance to be God, is he really God? In other words, if what you've been doing hasn't been working, then you're probably serving the wrong God. You're probably investing your time in the wrong thing. You're probably investing your life in the wrong thing. If what you've been doing, all the, you wonder why you can look and read the magazines and see these people committing suicide that have thousands and millions of dollars and so on and have all of these fancy things. It's because the God that they're serving isn't the real God. Money is not the real God. Can't provide the real happiness that they're looking for. Can I get an amen? And so what happened is the Bible says they picked up their Dagon God. And in my version, the Bible says, that, or in my version, what I'm telling you is they dusted them off and said, hey, we're going to give you another chance. Walked away. And the Bible says they woke up and that next morning came back. And not only was their God fallen on his face, but now his hands were cut off and also his head was chopped off. I feel like God, the one true living God, was making a statement. I'm preaching it to you the way I am because I'm telling you, you can't have what's true for you be true for you and what's true for me be true for me. No, because it's not up to me on where you go and it's not up to you about whether I make heaven my home or go to hell. It's up to him. Either God's in charge or he's not. Either he's the one who's in charge or he's not at all. The God that you and I are serving, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one true living God. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. He's the ruler and the King of kings, the Lord of lords. There is none beside him and neither will there ever be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get an amen? Would you clap your hands unto Jesus if you understand what I'm talking about? I'm telling you, it's the way, it's the only way, is through Jesus Christ. How many of you believe that? I'll tell you why I believe that it's so real. It's because, like I said, miracles prove it. Miracles point to it. You see, if our God is out of this world, and let me do a quick disclaimer. If anyone here or anybody you ever encounter believes that their God is from this world, from this earth, then they've got other problems. Because then that means their God is also subject to the sin of this earth. And to the fault of this earth. And to the eventual decay and death of this earth. Can you get it? Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? And so, my God is from out of this world. He created this earth. He created, as a matter of fact, the world is inside of him. Not only is this earth inside of him, but the world is inside of God. He's that big. And so what happens is, when Jesus came down on this earth, he began to display that he wasn't from here. He began to display, not only with his teaching was completely different to what everyone was used to, but not only with his teaching, but he backed it up with miracles, signs, and wonders. That's how I know what I'm preaching is real. Because I've seen the miracles, signs, and wonders. You can just ask a lady that I remember praying for in Northern California. I remember she was deaf in both ears. And the Lord began talking to me and telling me, go down there and pray for her. I'm going to give her the Holy Ghost. I walked down there and I prayed for her. She ended up speaking in other tongues. She was completely deaf in both ears. Wasn't able to talk very much either. And God filled her with the Holy Ghost. It was an amazing experience. Give the Lord a round of applause. That's all right. And all of a sudden, I remember I walked away and the Lord said, no, go back. You're not done. And I thought, oh, man, here I go. Lord, anybody, has the Lord ever told anybody something that you did not want to do? Raise your hand for me, please. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you did it or not, but I'm just going to let that be between you and Jesus. Amen. And so I remember pacing the floor back and forth. God, is this really you? Is it not you? What's going on? And oh, well, just like I said this morning, for those of you that were here, normally you don't tell yourself to go pray for the people that are deaf, people that are blind, the people that are sick, right? Can I get an amen on that? And so I was there just pacing the floor, and God, is this really you? And the Lord said, yeah, go, it's me. And so I went and I said, all right, well, as I'm walking down, I remember the story. You got to understand, this is why I believe it's real. This is why I'm preaching to you the way I'm preaching to you. And I believe that this Bible is true. Because this Bible is not just a couple of good words bunched together. It's not just a good proverb or good saying. Oh, yeah, that makes me feel good for a moment, Pastor. No, no, no. It's a whole lot more than that. Because I remember walking up to where that lady was, and I thought, well, if it's in the Bible, then that means it can happen. Let me explain. If it's in the Bible and it's real, then that means it can really happen today. See, if I would have grabbed another book and said, well, if it's in this book and it's real and put it to the test and it didn't happen, then I would have known, well, this book's not real. Amen? And so I walked over to where that lady was and remember thinking, well, it's in the Bible, the testimonies, the power of God. And I remember thinking, okay, well, here it is. She's deaf in both ears. And the Bible says there was a story of a man that came up to Jesus and he was deaf and Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears. And all of a sudden, the man was able to hear. He went from deaf to being able to hear after an encounter with Jesus, the man of this book. And I begin to think, well, if it can happen back then and the Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that means that it can happen today, right? And if I really believe that this is really real, then it'll happen here right now in just a few moments. And I put my hands on that woman's ears and I told her, I want you to put your hands on your own ears. And I want you to shout the name of Jesus. I don't want you to shout my name. Don't shout your name. Don't shout the pastor's name. I want you to shout the name of Jesus because there is power in the name of Jesus. And as she put both her hands on her ears, she yelled the name of Jesus at the top of her lungs, and I remember looking at her, and she looked up, and she was able, she told us later, I could hear out of both of my ears, they just popped wide open, as the power of Jesus healed her body. That's the power that's in this building here right now. That's the power of Jesus that is in this building here right now. Would you clap your hands in faith? Would somebody believe Jesus is in this building, and doubt has got to go, and fear has got to go, in the name of Jesus. Come on, I believe it's real. Clap your hands one more time to Jesus. I believe it. You can ask the man that was blind in both eyes. And the Bible says that Jesus was there and he spat in the mud and made the clay and put his hands on the man's eyes and rubbed the mud around his eyes. And all of a sudden Jesus asked him, how do you see? Well, the man was completely blind. You see, here's the difference. There were other people that came and tried to act as though they were some kind of Messiah back in that day. Jesus wasn't the first one. Why do you think people were so amazed? Why is he teaching what he's teaching and so on? Because what was happening was he was teaching what he was teaching, but also there was power that was following. There was demonstration, signs and wonders that made him different than the rest, that made the people understand that he was different, that he is different, that he is the way, the truth and the life. And that man was there with the clay in his eyes, and Jesus said, how do you see? And the man said, well, I see men as trees. In other words, I can see people blurry. They're moving around. And Jesus went again and put the clay in his eyes one more time, and as he did that, all of a sudden the man was able to see, miraculously healed. And I remember thinking, wow, how powerful that testimony, how powerful. You got to understand, though, if you think about it sometimes the way that we do, and we begin to think, well, you got to understand, Brother Jesse, that was thousands of years ago, and that was for one person, you know, that wasn't for everybody. So maybe it can happen for my neighbor, but not for me. How many guys ever thought that before? I'm going to be honest. Raise your hand with me. You ever thought that? Well, for them today, oh, preacher's preaching good to them, you know, not for me, though. So all of a sudden, we get that mentality. We think, well, you know, if I lived in the Bible times, Brother Jesse, then I'd see those miracles. I really would, you know. Anybody ever thought that before? I grew up in church, and so my mind just went wild, you know, in the Bible, and just imagination go crazy. And, you know, you're about to get spanked, you know, from your dad, or at least I did. I got whoopings. And I remember as I was there, I was thinking, you know, if I lived in the Bible times, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have done that, Dad.
Anyone ever try to explain it that way? You know, I'm telling you, Dad, if I was like Peter and John, I would have never done that. Please don't whip me. I'm sorry. It's just the times, you know, signs of the times, Dad. Jesus is coming soon, you know. You can tell I tried any which way to get out of it. You know what I mean? Don't act like you did it. I'm just going to keep on preaching like you heard what I'm saying. You understand. I would say, well, that was in the Bible. That was Jesus. You got to understand. Jesus healed the blind man's eyes. But you see, here's the reality is Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus told us, disciples, how many of your disciples? These works and greater will you do. These works and greater will you do. Not hopefully you'll do, not maybe you'll do, but will you do? You'll do them if you believe. If you believe that it can happen, you believe that Jesus is real. See, that's why I preach the way I do. That's why I walk into the streets the way I do and tell people at Fred Meyer and everywhere else the way I do and about the testimonies and miracle working power of Jesus, because what I've got is real and it's been working and it's still working. It's been working for thousands of years before and it'll work when I'm gone. It'll keep on working because this book is real. And I remember watching a lady in Missouri as she was there in the service, and the pastor called me over, said, pray for her. She can be healed. Both of her eyes were blind. And I remember all of a sudden as I was there, I walked over and I put both my hands in her eyes and we began to pray and the power of God began to fall. And I commanded her to see in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden she looked and she said, well, I can see blurry. And I remembered, wait, hold on. This is in the Bible. If the Bible's real, Jesus went again. And so I'm going to go again one more time. I told the entire church, let's pray again and believe that God's going to do something. In that second time, we begin to command her to see in the name of Jesus. She went from not seeing to seeing blurry to the last time she said, oh my goodness, I can see the color of your shirt. She was able to identify my shirt. She said, I can see the color of your tie. I'm telling you, that's the power of Jesus. That wasn't supposed to happen to her, but that's the power of Jesus that is in this building right now, that is ready to touch your mind, that is ready to touch your soul, that is ready to deliver you here today, that is ready to free you in this hour. If you believe that, would you clap your hands unto the Lord? Tell you one last testimony here. I'm telling you, I believe the power of Jesus. I believe it's real, and I believe it's real for us today. That's the difference, is that the power didn't die. The power hasn't stopped. It hasn't ceased. It's still here. I'm not telling you about miracles that happened years ago. I'm telling you about miracles that just took place, that have been recently taking place. I'm telling you today, it's in this building right now. If you believe that, would you clap your hands to Jesus? Sorry, I tell people, you know, people always say in the world that we live in today, well, what makes your God different than my God? Now, I've given you an answer, right? Amen? Well, what makes your belief different than my belief? What makes your religion different than my religion? Are there miracles, signs, and wonders? Because if their God is from a different world, then there will be signs from that different world. Amen. Now, I remember a young lady, I may have said this here, I'm not too sure, but I'm going to say it again. Don't matter. But I remember there was a young lady in Hawaii. She had 1.5 lungs in her body, and we went on praying and just, you know, having good church. And her lung completely collapsed, the half a lung in her body. And I remember as we were there, we were preaching, and throughout that week, she had been to the hospital. She wasn't able to go to work and completely just sick because of that lung and not able to really even move very much as far as, you know, just having a normal, you know, jumping and being able just to go to work and breathe normally and properly. She was working on one lung now. I remember her come to church on that following Sunday. She came and she was up there in the front just kind of worshiping, you know, just a little bit. And she was there. She was normally an exuberant worshiper. And you've seen some of these people running around the church. And she was one of those, you know, just real, just worshiper. And so when she came, she just kind of clapped her hands, just trying to hold her breath, really, is what it was going on. I found out later because she was only working on one lung. Well, the half of the lung had collapsed. Now, she was born with only 1.5 of a lung.
That's how she was born. Now, what happened was the organs had pushed over to one side of her body and didn't allow that half bottom portion of the lung to form. And so when she was being developed and she was being born, and so she was there in that church, I remember all of a sudden the power of God was moving. Now, here's the key. Some of you started running right now, and as you did that, a couple other people caught on hold of that and started dancing and jumping. There was about two that came up in the beginning and were dancing and running and worshiping God. What happens when you do that? See, it's not just a bunch of whatever. What happens when you do that in the spirit realm? I remember watching a lady run in California, Northern California, in the middle of the service, and the Lord showed me this. And as she began to run and shout, she was the only one, she began to open her mouth and shout unto the Lord. And as that happened, that she was literally tearing through the kingdom of the enemy. Because the Bible says that he is the prince of the air. So when you begin to shout the name of Jesus, when you begin to run in this air, in this atmosphere, you begin to rip and shred through the kingdom of hell and begin to, and through every lie. See, that's what the power of the enemy is he lies. He speaks his voice. He lies and deceives and so on. So when you begin to run and you begin to clap and you begin to jump and you begin to shout and you begin to dance and you begin to proclaim the name of Jesus, all of a sudden you begin to shred through the kingdom of the enemy and you begin to establish that this is the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if the kingdom of heaven is at hand, then miracles, signs, and wonders can happen, because there are no sicknesses in heaven. There are no diseases in heaven. There are no deaths in heaven. When you begin to establish the kingdom of heaven is here in this building right now, then that means that cancers have got to go, that diseases have got to leave, that sicknesses are not welcomed in this building, because this is establishing the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Would you all stand with me where you're at? I'm coming to a close. And I remember watching that lady in that front, and I said, "Hey, Sharina," I walked over to where she was. And as I walked over, I began to tell her, I said, "Hey, would you go ahead and would you just worship God?" And she began to lift her hands and speak in tongues. And the Holy Ghost began moving on me. And I remember all of a sudden, I said, "Hey, I want you to do something that you can't do," I told her. And God, the Lord just told me to do something that you can't do, and that when you do that, God's going to meet you halfway. And here's what happened. The Lord told me, "Tell her to jump." That's very specific, right? Very, very different, off the wall kind of stuff. This is how Jesus works sometimes. It's the reality. And so I remember all of a sudden I said, "I want you to jump, Sharina, because here's the deal. If she were to jump, she would either go to the hospital and fall out. The ambulance would come get her. She's only working on one lung. Or she'd be healed." You notice there are no plan B with Jesus. There are no plan Bs and plan twos and threes and fours and fives. It's just how it is. It's Jesus' way or no way at all. And so I remember I told her, "I want you to begin to jump and Jesus will meet you halfway. Just believe that with me." I laid my hands on her head, and I remember all of a sudden she just stayed there with her head up, and she was speaking in tongues. And I remember thinking, you know what? She's not even listening to me. Forget it. I'm not going to pray for her anymore. I was being real with you, all right? That's exactly what happened, because she wasn't doing what I was telling her to do. Now, I know that doesn't happen here in this church, but believe it or not, sometimes people don't listen to the preacher. I know, right? No, not this church. Amen. Another church, somewhere else, sometimes it happens, okay? Anyways, even when they're under the unction of the Holy Ghost. So I walked on over, and I remember praying for that other. And another lady had diabetes in her body, and the diabetes was blurring her vision up. She wasn't able to see the screen. I remember all of a sudden, she, as we prayed in the name of Jesus, she looked up at the screen, and she said, "Oh, my goodness, I can see. Jesus just healed my body." And the Lord literally just healed the blurry vision that she had, and she was able to see. In the next few moments, I remember looking over, and all of a sudden, everyone in the church was going wild as Sharina was there dancing and jumping, the one with the 1.5 lung in her body, dancing and jumping and worshiping God, shouting unto the Lord and just worshiping God. It was amazing what God was doing. And I asked her afterward, "How did you feel?" A couple days later, we asked her what happened. She went to the doctor. She said, "After I prayed," she said, "after you left me, Jesse," she said, "the Lord told me something. I heard what you're telling me to jump." And she told me these words. That's why I have confidence saying this testimony and saying what really happened, is because she told me, she said, "Now, when you told me to jump," she said, "nah, I ain't going to do that, because I'm about to fall out and look crazy here in front of everybody." That's what she said. And so I was like, all right, whatever. She told me, she said, the Lord told me something when you left. She said, the Lord told me, taste and see that the Lord is good. Try me, taste and see that the Lord is good. She said, so I began to jump and I began to worship and I began to dance. And as she did, she said, I felt the heat go up the left side of my body. As I got into my car, I still felt it. And as I went to sleep, I said, Lord, if it's really you, keep it going. If it's not you, then let it stop. She said, it went all through the night in my sleep. And as I woke up the next morning, it was completely gone. And she said, I went to the doctor a couple days later, and there they were plugging machines up to my body. And the doctor thought his machine had broke 3 different times in that same day. Literally, that's what happened. The doctor said, well, just go ahead and come back another day. And as she was walking out, he said, well, no, why don't you come back one more time? I think I fixed my machine. And guess what? The machine was broke for a third time. And all of a sudden he said, well, let's send you over to some other doctors. And the other doctors put cameras down her lungs. And all of a sudden, as he put the cameras down in her lungs, in her body, to scope out what was going on, the mom had flown in from Georgia, who birthed her with this defect in her body. And all of a sudden the doctor's looking at her and telling her, look, I don't know what in the world is going on, but 16 years of my practice, and I've never seen anything like this before. He said, you've got 2 completely functioning lungs living inside of your body. I'm telling you, that's the power of Jesus Christ that is in this building, that can do absolutely anything here today. He can form it in your body if you don't have it. He can drive it out of your body if it's all affecting you. I'm telling you, Jesus is in this building here today. I wish somebody would clap your hands to the Lord just a little bit longer. It's real. It's real. It's real. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's real. It's real. It's real. How many of you really believe what I'm talking about today? All right. Now, let me explain something. I'm going to call everybody up here in a moment. But I want you to understand something. Nobody has ever received a miracle doing nothing. Amen? Nobody's ever received a miracle just hoping that the Lord would knock them upside the head and they would fall out and receive the miracle. It doesn't work that way. Jesus requires that you take the first step. And I want to explain, just for a brief moment, the Bible says Jesus walked up to the man that was at the edge of the pool. And the man that was lame at the edge of the pool said he was waiting for someone to come and stir the waters, and that when they would stir the waters, there was no one to push him in, and so on. And here's the deal, is Jesus said, you know, said, do you want to be healed? And he did. And Jesus told him 3 things. He said, rise. Everyone say, rise. Rise. He said, take up your bed. Everyone say, take up your bed. Say it one more time. Take up your bed. And walk. Everyone say walk. Now walking would have been the miracle for the lame man. Am I right? That's, you see a lame man walk, that's a miracle. He's not able to do that. But why was walking the last thing for him to do? Because he had to do the first 2 to show Jesus that he meant business. The first one was to rise, and that means literally that he had to take the first step. Whether someone came and picked him up, whether he pushed himself up with his arms, whatever it took for him to get up, he had to determine in his mind, I'm getting up to show Jesus that I really want to be healed. I'm going to do something to show Jesus that I am serious about him healing my body, touching my mind, setting me free. And the second one was he had to take up his bed. I have seen people healed and get back in the wheelchair. I have seen people healed from crutches and pick them back up and walk out the same way. I've seen people leave literally oxygen tanks down at their pew. And when they walk back out, they pick it up, plug it back in, and they're sicker than when they were before they were healed. And so Jesus said, take up your bed. And that meant that when he takes up his bed, he's showing Jesus, I'm not going to get back in my bed of affliction and keep begging for alms like I've done all my life. In other words, my lifestyle is going to change. In other words, my way of thinking is going to change because I'm going to receive the miracle and walk in the miracle. This sister right here, you for 30 years, am I right? For 30 years, walked out of a wheelchair 30 years ago. Is that right? Over 30 years, she said. And guess what? She is still healed today. She is still healed today. That is a miracle. For 30 years, God has been doing a miracle. She's never got back in the wheelchair. She's leaping today and walking today because of the power of Jesus Christ. If you want a miracle in your body, would you come down to this altar? If you want a miracle in your mind, I want you to grab your neighbor, bring them on down to this altar. Everybody, would you come quickly here today? Jesus is the one that does the miracles. That's it. Jesus is the one that does the miracles here today. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you need to sit down, that's okay. You can come sit down right here in this front row. That's okay. You can have a seat there. If you need to sit down, that's all right. No problem. You need to lay down. You can do that too. Whatever it is you feel like doing. Just come on down to the front because this is where it's happening. And when you do this, you show Jesus that you're taking the first step of faith when you come down to the front. That's all it takes. Now, Jesus is the one that does the miracle, not me. Amen? So I'm going to ask us all to do something together. I think this is important. We're going to repent together. Is that okay? Because there are some people that God wants to fill with His Spirit. Now, that means that Jesus is not just living around you. Some of you have walked with the Lord for a long time, many years, but He's only been around you. There's another dimension when Jesus comes and gets inside of you. Because when He gets around you, you've got to come to church again, or you've got to have a prayer meeting in your house again, or you've got to do this, that, and the other to go ahead and invoke the power of God in your life, around your life again. But when He lives inside of you, it can be the midnight hour. It can be when you're all alone, like Pastor said. And guess what? All of a sudden, Jesus comes and gives you strength that you didn't have a moment ago. There's a difference when He's inside of you versus when He's around you. And I'll show you a scripture. The Bible says that greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. But if He is not in you and He's only around you, then you ain't got no power. Amen? You can experience the power, you can encounter the power, or you can allow the power of Jesus to come and live inside of you and never leave you. Amen. Let's all, would you right now, I want you to repent for you, for your own sins, for whatever it is you've done wrong, for whatever it is you've done against the will of God. Right now, would you go ahead with everything you got? Jesus, would you forgive me? Would you cleanse my heart? Would you wash me? Go ahead right now, everybody, with your own words, with your own words. That's it. Good, 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 good. With your own words. If you've been in church all your life, you still, we all need to repent. We fall short of the glory of God. Jesus, would you cleanse me? Would you wash me? Come on, that's it. Make it real from within right now with sincerity. I want you for a moment longer, somebody just get real with God. You might not have all the right words. There's nobody perfect in this building. The least we can do is ask God for forgiveness here today. Jesus, would you cleanse me? Would you wash me? Whatever words you've got, just get real with them. Lord, I need you. I've messed up. I've done wrong. I've thought the wrong thoughts, even just this morning. Even sitting here in this church, God, you know. Last night I've thought the wrong things, God. Come on, whatever it is right now, in the name of Jesus, I said the wrong thing, God. I need your mercy and your grace here today. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord, everybody? If you believe that Jesus has forgiven you, would you clap one more time? Would you worship? Amen.
But I want to know here today, whatever church you're from, whatever you're from, if you're not from here, whatever it is you're visiting today, you're in the right place. And we thank you for coming. We're going to do this together as one body of believers. Is there anybody here today that really wants something from Jesus? It can be whatever you need it to be. I'm serious. You really, would you raise your hand, please? And I want you to raise your hands to Jesus. If you need the Holy Ghost, you've never spoken with other tongues before, I want you to lift your hands. You've already repented and just say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're all going to shout hallelujah together. There's some of you that need a physical miracle in your body. I want you to have one hand on that sickness and one hand toward heaven right now. You need a physical miracle in your body, one hand on that sickness and one hand toward God right now. In the name of Jesus, whatever it is that you need right now, that's it. Now I want you just to worship the Lord. Go ahead, just worship in your own words. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I thank you. He's already forgiven you. That's it. He's already cleansed you right now. Whatever the pain is, whatever the sickness is, I'm going to speak the word of faith, and we're going to shout hallelujah. And as we shout hallelujah, Jesus is going to come and heal your body, and is going to come and set you free. I'm telling you, he's in this building here right now. He's in this building here right now. That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. Would you worship Jesus? Would you worship in the name of Jesus? That's it. Just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're all going to shout hallelujah on the count of three. By the authority of the word of God and the power that's in the name of Jesus, I command every sickness to leave your body, every back pain, every head pain, go now in Jesus' name. Every cancer, leave right now in the name of Jesus. Every heart problem, go right now in the name of Jesus. Every back pain, every leg pain, I want you to leave. I command you to go now by the authority of the word of God and the power of the name of Jesus. If you need the gift of the Holy Ghost, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, let's shout hallelujah. 1, 2, 3, hallelujah. Yeah, 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 that's it. Don't stop, don't stop. It's happening now, it's happening now, it's happening now, it's happening now. Yeah, 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 yeah. Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, 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 that's it. The power is working. The power of Jesus Christ is working among us right now. It's working for us. In the name of Jesus.